Hello and welcome to BizWell, the podcast about business and well-being. I am Melissa Botello and thank you for listening today. In the previous episode of BizWell, I talked about skills needed in 2020 and beyond to stay competitive. According to the Future of Jobs report compiled by the World Economic Forum, which surveyed top human resources and strategists, in that they told us that negotiation skills are in the top 10 and one of the most important skills to be acquired for the future. So today, again, we're talking about negotiations, and I'm happy and very excited to introduce John Morgan. John is a senior leader and has more than 20 years of leadership experience and is an expert in negotiations. I've had the opportunity to see John in action, and he's not only a leader, but he's loyal, he's authentic, and truly cares about his people. And I know he'll have some great tips to share with us today. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Melissa.
Great to have you. So I wanted to start out to talk about negotiations a little bit, because I think most people think of negotiating a job offer or a job salary, but there are so many other ways to negotiate. And in the Future of Jobs report that I referenced, it talked a lot about people being able to negotiate with their peers, obviously on projects, timelines. And so maybe you could tell us a little bit about how you and or your team has negotiated in your experience.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with a couple of the things that you just mentioned. Negotiating goes way beyond salary or your bonus or vacation time, although those are all important things to try to negotiate. But in everyday business, things such as projects, the teams you get placed on, the resources that you're allocated, all can be affected by your ability to negotiate and your ability to persuade based on attainment of a reasonable goal, of a reasonable team goal.
Very true. So maybe you can explain some of the team goals which you've had to either negotiate or present to your team, and then what that looked like.
Well, as a leader, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, of course, is a budget. And a budget can entail everything. It can be revenue, it can be expenses, it can be, again, allocation of resources that you're either fighting for in a competitive way or fighting for because the ultimate goal that you're trying to achieve, those things are needed. It can be almost anything to do with business day to day, if you really think about it. I think that you can negotiate almost every situation and everything that you're up against, both internally within your company and externally with your customer base.
Well, I'm glad you brought up budgeting. I each year at my day job, we budget in October timeframe for the next year. And last year, my budget was reduced during that cycle by almost $300,000. And I clearly didn't negotiate well and or come up with reasons why it should not have been reduced. So what strategies would you play if I were someone on your team and you were trying to reduce my budget by $300,000? What would you have coached me on so I maybe would have been able to get some of that back?
Well, I tend to use the acronym of the three P's when it comes to negotiating, which is prepare, probe, and then propose. In the case of a budget cut or allocation of funds, I think preparation is key. Experienced negotiators understand that the negotiation process starts well before you get to the table, and you really need to be prepared in defending your what your goal is and defending why your team needs what it might be in a budget process, etc. But preparation is key, and I think that in business, sometimes people forget that they go right into probing and questioning and trying to negotiate without knowing whether it be a competitive scenario, whether it be internally, what other departments' goals are, what's best for the company. You really need to make sure that your preparation is thorough in what you do.
Yeah, definitely probably should have spent a little bit more time trying to show people or demonstrate how that money would have been spent and really what would have or what will happen without having that budget. So I like that prepare. You said prepare, probe, and propose. So what would probing look like in a budget scenario, or if you're negotiating a car, what does that look like?
Well, probing is of course, in my opinion, it is the most important thing in negotiating and selling, and no matter what you're doing, you really need to understand What the person you're speaking to is thinking about. You need to understand what the situation is, and you need to be able to adjust according to the personalities that you might be with. Let me give you an example of that. So typically there's two kinds of personalities, an open personality and a closed personality. An open personality is someone who talks willingly, perhaps talks too much. They might ramble. They might go on and on. And if you're probing with someone like that, you need to be able to control the situation so that you can get the information that you're looking for in an efficient way. So instead of asking questions that encourage long responses, you ask closed questions, ones that might require yes or no, ones that would be very short, that doesn't make the person linger in their response to you. For example, in your case of the budget and getting cut $300,000, it might be as simple as, you know, tell me why, if this person is an open person, or tell me who else is affected by this. You know, simple, short answers so that you can start to control the situation. A closed personality, on the other hand, is someone who will give you one-word answers or very short answers. And if you're in a negotiation process, you're never going to get the information you need from a closed personality. Therefore, you do the opposite. When it's an open personality, you ask close-ended questions. When it's a closed personality, you ask open-ended questions. Things, it could be as simple as why. It could be, tell me about that. It could be just saying, oh, and let them talk. That closed personality, you really need to stimulate the conversation and direct them where you're going in order to get the information you need so you can effectively negotiate.
That makes a lot of sense. Speaking of, you know, saying, oh, when would you might use silence to your advantage in negotiations, or just the long pauses? You know, has that been something you've experienced, and does it work?
So silence, that's a great point you bring up. Silence is a very effective body language and communication tool when you're negotiating. I have found that oftentimes when I get an objection, I am silent and I listen and I let it sink in. Or when somebody comes back at me with a counterpoint, you can't be quick or a counter to what you might be proposing. You can't be quick to jump in. You know, use the silence not only for the effect, but also to gather your thoughts and figure out what's the next question and what you need to do. So silence can be very, very effective. I think that when you come back after a silent moment, or if you've come across someone who is giving you some sort of objection to whatever it is you might want, the very first step after that silence is in your probing is to ask, you know, and clarify what they said. So again, we'll go back to your case of the budget. You know, my question might be, so what you're telling me is that I'm losing $300,000 of my available resources for this year? And clarify it. And then go into your probing based on the personality. Geez, tell me why. Can you tell me what other team members have been affected? Can we talk about what we first stated when we started the budget process and what our goal is and how this will affect us getting there, et cetera?
That makes a lot of sense. I think in my situation, you know, it was very clear that there were other teams that either had to launch products and do different things that needed that money, and it was perceived they needed it more. And as I could identify with that and obviously need that, I still was at a point where it was hard then just to come up with reasons why I needed it more than they did. So another challenging situation.
Yeah, and remember, probing leads you to the end, right? Which is the third P, which is where you propose, where you ask for it, where you let your supervisor know you want it, where you tell your teams, hey, this is what we're going to do, where you get everybody on board, where you set the direction. And sometimes you're not going to win. And in your case, in the budget process, and trust me, I've been through this a lot, there's lots of times that you don't come out with the expected outcome that you were hoping for. And in those cases, I like to think then more of how I can use that to my advantage. For example, again, in a simple instance like your budget circumstance, it might be, well, listen, I understand, and our team will do what's necessary in order for us to help everyone this year. But I'd like to remember this as we start preparing for next year's budget, in a couple of months from now. And I'd follow it up in writing, and I'd send them an email and a note, and I would use that to my advantage in order to make sure that my team and I get what we want the following year.
Yes, absolutely. I did some of that, but you make a good point about following up, putting it in email, and keeping it at the forefront of their mind. So that's a little bit on the job side, and that's negotiating with peers and leaders. What about negotiating when you have a new job? If there's anyone out there listening who's going to be taking on a new role or a new position, obviously there's lots of information out there about negotiating your salary, benefits. What tips might you have there?
Again, I think when it comes to negotiating, particularly when you're speaking about a new job and you're talking about negotiating, all three of the P's come into place. You really need to prepare, and you really need to understand, you know, whether it's through salary.com or whether it's through other resources on the web as to what like positions pay. There's all kinds of resources, LinkedIn, there's groups, there's peer groups, there is just an endless amount of resources and where you could uncover what a typical job would pay, what it would entail, what the benefits are, et cetera. So you need to know that. I always like to talk to people inside the company that may not be part of my team. I like to understand what they're doing. I like to understand, everything I possibly can about the company before you start negotiations, because what that tells them when you do start talking about money and bonus and vacation is that you're going to be a valuable asset. You know what you're talking about before you come in. You know what the job is. You've talked to peers. You've talked to competitors. So preparation is key. And I think that when it comes to money, people sometimes get a little bit timid. And you just can't. You have to be able to shoot high, aim high, and leave yourself some room for compromise. Because I've almost never run into a situation where there's zero room. And even if your salary might be capped in what they can offer you, that doesn't mean your vacation is capped. That doesn't mean that your bonus is capped. That doesn't mean that you can get some more, PTO. All of those things are negotiable, and you have to do it up front, because once you start, it's going to be locked in.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. I have been timid before when negotiating my salary and or benefits. The one time I've done it pretty aggressively, I did not wait till the end when the offer was given. So what's your experience in and your tip in terms of, do you do that once the letter's on the table, or are you doing it ahead of time? Is it something you're talking, because a lot of people will tell you don't talk about salary at all through the interview process. So when do you start to talk about that?
You know, that's a great question. And I think that really depends on your experience level. And let me tell you what I mean by that. If you're a senior executive with 25 years experience and a recruiter or a company calls you with a job that, maybe it's a startup or maybe it's a different role that you've had, or the company may be new, or there could be a lot of situations. I don't think as a senior executive, it's inappropriate for you to say early in your conversations, listen, I'd like to understand the compensation because I don't want us to waste our time going forward. If it's one of your first jobs, or if it's an entry-level job, or if it's a very similar job to what you're doing today, then I typically will wait, because what I want to do is I want to sell them thoroughly on my background, what I have done, what my accomplishments are, how I'm going to fit in their team, what I bring to the table, and I want them to know that my goal is that I'm going to be the best hire they ever made. And if I can convince them of that, then I'm going to have a lot more arrows in my quiver when it comes to negotiating salary and benefits and vacation, et cetera.
So that's a good tip. So if it's a similar job, wait towards the end. If it's something brand new, find out a little bit earlier in the process.
Yeah, like I said, I think it really depends on your experience level. Lots of times, you'll get calls, and I have too. I've gotten many, many calls from recruiters and from companies where you may have had a VP title and they're looking for a director, but it's an up and coming company. But it may be a step back in compensation. And when you're looking at a director role or a VP role, those interviews can be lengthy at times, and there could be a lot of them. There could be 7 or 8 interviews that you go through, and it would be a shame for you to put in all that effort and to put in all that time only to find out that the compensation package isn't going to be something that you can live with. So again, I think the better way to word it is, the more experience you have, then the earlier you can put it in a conversation.
That makes sense. And so I know we have some recent college grads and earlier in their career folks listening to this. So would that remain the same for them as well? You know, they're right out of college or, you know, first job ever earlier in their career. Would that same process go for them as well?
Yeah. So again, early on in your career, I would think that coming out of college or an entry level job, you, in your preparation, you're going to know what that job pays. And I think that you're going to know the ballpark of what the total compensation is. You're going to talk to probably peers or other people or, you know, roommates or friends or other people that are going to the same company or the same industry. And you're going to have a pretty good feel. So in that case, no, I would wait and I would not bring up compensation and I would sell myself and make sure that they understand, again, all the things that you can bring to the table, what makes you separate from the rest of the people who may be there, and then use that to get as much as you can.
Sounds great. Well, we've learned some great things today. You've told us a lot about preparing, probing, and then proposing. Obviously, preparation and anything is critical, so it really made sense when you explained about, you know, understanding from the beginning where you're at and getting prepared for that. So as we wrap up, again, you know, for those who are experienced in leadership as you are and or those who are just starting, you know, knowing that negotiation will be a critical skill in 2020 and beyond, what last advice may you have for the listeners and or how can they either hone it, those skills, and or improve them or maybe even just take the first attempt because some of us are just adverse to negotiating?
So I would say this, you know, try to remember the three P's because that's a very easy thing to have in the back of your mind. Prepare, probe, and propose. And remember that in any negotiation, and I've tried to teach my kids this, I've tried to teach as I've mentored many people throughout their career, you know, people sometimes are intimidated when it's a negotiation scenario. But the bottom line is, what's the worst thing that can happen? You're told no.
True.
And then, you know what? That's not a really bad thing. So don't be afraid to ask for it. Don't be afraid to listen. Remember, you know, and I think my first boss out of college told me this, you know, God gave you 2 ears and one mouth for a reason. You need to listen twice as much as you do talk. So don't be afraid to listen. Don't be afraid to understand the personality scenarios that we talked about when someone has an open personality or when someone has a closed personality and how to deal with that. Don't underestimate the importance of body language and what people are doing when you're talking to them and what the room is like. And it may not be an individual, it may be a group. I mean, I've done lots of exercises with my teams over the years where you can actually see in the room people developing or people taking a certain role. And it really helps you understand who they are and where the scenario is going. So I think in summary, I would really just say, you know what? Don't be afraid. Negotiation is a part of life. It's part of business. It's part of what you have to do. And ultimately, all that can happen, the worst thing that can happen is somebody could say no.
Absolutely. And once you've heard no one time, it gets easier as you go. I do know that. And speaking of kids, any experience with negotiating in college? My son was just accepted into NYU today, and we're super excited. But as we looked up and saw, I think the year tuition was about $75,000. Do you know anything and have any experience with negotiating with colleges on tuition?
Well, I'll tell you this. I believe that everything is negotiable, even though sometimes it's not, as we talked about. I was fortunate enough to have my first three kids go to upper tier schools. And I will tell you this, you need to dig, you need to prepare by understanding the financial aid programs, understanding scholarships that are available. You need to look. There are thousands and thousands of scholarships that are out there available to kids, and you have to find them. You need to probe because even though they may tell you that financial aid is not available, in almost every situation, there is something. And they will, they may not necessarily volunteer that information. So you really need to probe and ask, what are our options? What can we do? Here's our financial scenario. What can occur? There will be someone in the financial aid department in most cases that your child will be assigned to. And don't be afraid that when they tell you no, not to take that as the definitive answer. Don't be afraid to talk to other people in the department. Don't be afraid to, you know, ask about what other people have done in your situation. There are ways out there. And congratulations on your son, by the way. That's fantastic news.
Thank you. Well, I'm making a quote from John Morgan. Don't be afraid, just ask. I love that. So thank you so much. This was so enlightening and informative today. I think listeners are going to walk away with, for sure, knowing more about negotiation, especially about prepare, probe, and propose in the three P's, along with some of the other tips you gave us. So thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you again, John.
Thanks, Melissa.